step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Casey Kasem, today on The Dark Side Of. A Provo sex offender opened door nude and invited trick-or-treaters inside. Police say, then, moving up a notch, Washington man killed daughter's boyfriend who sold her into a sex ring and left his body in trunk for a year. Well, Tony, what else do we have?
Thanks, Casey. Also, a lot more dark shit today on The Dark Side Of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side Of.
That indeed it is. And if you like our program, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. And if you want all the bonus content, the advanced content, all the commercial free, go check out Patreon.com with the Patreon app and search for Dark Side Of.
It's so nice to be back from the dead. Thanks for letting me read those disturbing lines.
You're welcome, Casey. I'm glad you could be back for just a short period of time here on our program. It's Tony and Sean with you on today's episode of the show. So what do you think of that?
I enjoyed the surprise threesome. What's the budget of this podcast network to bring in cameos from the other side?
I know. It's quite amazing what you can do now. We did a seance, and now Casey haunts the studio. So he's always just kind of, you know, popping in and saying stuff these days.
It's interesting with all of these folks working at home and podcasting, you know, folks consuming this may not know, you kind of have to find a room with good acoustics to make the sound good, the mic. I would imagine the casket really soundproof.
Probably really good. Yeah, I would think he probably really gets a lot of
noise, lack thereof. I mean, he doesn't need oxygen. It's like hasn't for years.
It's the ultimate studio right there for Casey. So I'm amazed by this. And if you listen to the other show, Real Ghost Stories Online, I've been playing with this soundboard thing. And it's not even a soundboard. It's a voice generator where you can put in the voice of someone. And it's basically kind of like how you've been seeing on video, like the deep fake stuff. You can do it with voices now, which is scary as shit. Because I could put my own voice in. I could put Sean's voice in. I could put anybody's voice in. And then you can, you know, once it's generated and it's all set, it sounds scarily real. And if you really take the time to kind of adjust, you know, where the pauses are going to be and all that, and where the vocal tones go up and down, you can make some scarily real sounding stuff from virtually anyone's voice.
So. He left me a voicemail. He didn't want to break up. Listen, it's right here.
Yeah.
Please, oh, please, yes, let's get married and have babies and move to Costa Rica.
You know what? Speaking, I mean, something dark like that, that's weird. I have you seen this? I've been looking around on the App Store, and there's something, and I was like, what the hell is this? There's this thing now where I guess
Candy Crush 2022?
No.
Where, it's coming available January 3rd. I can't wait.
It's on my calendar. Not at all. But there's these apps now where it's basically a AI, it's a fake person you're talking to. And some of them are being pitched as like, don't have a girlfriend, don't have a boyfriend, have a virtual one. They're always going to be nice to you. And then like you can program it to like send you texts and then it just like communicates with you through AI and with like fairly, you know, somewhat intelligible responses.
What's funny,
oh my God,
is as astronomically WTF-ery that is.
Yeah.
We kind of do that every day. Social, texting, all of this 100% non-real form of communication. Now, yes, those texts and emojis and socials are, in theory, connected to a real human on the other end.
Yeah.
But why not just have a really fancy computer be my new girlfriend that we're getting married next April? Oh, her name's God. Melissa. She's technically a laptop, but man, does she make me feel good at night.
It's just, it blows my mind. It's like, well, what the hell? I mean, talk about disconnected from reality and to do that with a young mind. You know, if you're a teenager or something and you just decide to start doing that and you're like, oh, this is great. I do like this.
What
are the long-term repercussions of this?
I mean, it's already happening. It's not as though this is fine. I mean, there's adults who, the movie that the gentleman, what's it called? It wasn't a robot. It was there's been a movie where
you're right, there was
not iRobot, but basically he had a fully functional iRobot robot vacuum and mop. Huh, gotta look into that. Had a emotional relationship with a computer.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called?
That was like late 80s, early 90s,
iRobot.
I think. Was that iRobot?
2004.
Really?
Maybe I'm thinking of a different one.
I thought there was like another one like in the late 80s, early 90s that was kind of along those lines.
This one was the one with Will Smith. This was the action movie.
You know,
I don't remember what it's called, but basically it starts as the gist and the plot of it is the same feelings you get meeting another human, developing a relationship this guy had with a inanimate object robot of sorts. And as far-fetched as it sounds, again, you consuming this on your phone when you're on the way to work or you're working out or whatever, the attachment that we have with our personal laptops in our pockets, our purses, on our desk, you know, you throw in some emotion of the relationship variety. Creepy, yes. Maybe we feel a bit fool-like, yes. But I don't see that actually happening in the not-so-distant future.
I guess the question would be, once it's normalized, because I think those of us who, you know, can remember a world without everybody having a personal computer, I don't think we're the ones that will ever, for the most part, fall into that and go, yeah, this is normal, or like, I'm down with that, or this is going to be great. But if it is normalized from like childhood on and people are just like doing that, and that's where it's going to get weird, because it's going to be like, what's wrong? Why can't I do that? Why can't I do that? Because a human's just going to hurt me. So why wouldn't I rather just have this where I get the emotional fulfillment from from the AI, and I feel just as good. And they just, you know, there's nothing there clicking going, because that's fucking crazy. And the rest of us can go, that's fucking crazy. But if you don't have that part that's clicking and you're saying, this is not weird, this is, you know, normal, that's, I don't know. I mean, it's just, I think we take another step down the path of being even more disconnected from reality and other humans when that starts to take place. But we are well on the path. It's in the App Store now. So, yeah.
When you really think about it, because last time I checked, you don't get into a relationship for all the nagging arguing. You don't get into a relationship being reminded you didn't vacuum. You don't get into a relationship to have something hot and heavy for a month and then not get as much as a hug for the next 4 years. So if you can take all the bad out and have all the endorphin emotional, is that crazy? Maybe that's smart.
it's not real human contact. It's not, I mean, and you're not going to have the human contact because it's all just virtual. It's all.
That ship has sailed years ago.
Yeah, there's
people
a lot
can
of people.
Live their fully yeah. functional life without human contact. Thus, yeah. it's that awkward yeah. when someone actually makes eye contact and talks to you and gives you a handshake or a side hug. And the person is like, what are you doing to me?
Yeah.
Well, this is actually what you did. And then you gave your personal laptop, which don't you dare touch my fucking phone, to take a picture.
Yeah.
See, that's what it was. So again, all these archaic things and all these situations we find ourselves in, and I too even find myself into it. It's even to the folks that are not married or tethered to their phones, it is making you feel a little bit less confident and, as the fun saying is, awkward
yeah.
in situations that not 5 years ago would be hunky-dory. Of course, there's a certain percentage of the lockdown and pandemic, and you know, obviously we have to reteach our brains how to welcome contact from others that we don't know or actually have conversations not through Zoom. But it's a very interesting time in our psychology. And as you said, hopefully for younger folks, it'll be that much more common for them when they're our age. But we and other middle-aged folks are not immune to it. I think even if we don't want to go out and try to order a girlfriend via Amazon or have these robotic what have yous, so much is happening, even with our blinders on, that the majority of society is not poo-pooing it so much that it creeps into mainstream everyday life. And whether you like it or not, not to insinuate that your next girlfriend is going to be a laptop or mine, although she's on back order, so TBD on that, is it's going to come in and it's going to be as fucked up as it is. There are things that are going to fall into everyday life that over time will be accepted, or they're just a part of life.
Is there a term for that now? Is there like a term for someone who has a relationship with a virtual something? I mean, you
my
know, like,
neighbor,
like something sexual, you know, like insert word sexual, you know,
probably they probably should just be a, I mean, whatever their name is, that's what it should be. That's a Bill. That's a Melissa. That's a, everybody is so, and that's a whole nother thing too, which we were talking about months ago, is every single, in one vein, we all want to be inclusive, whether you're a boy or a girl or a girl boy or a boy girl or a plant, we're all together. You got to relieve yourself, go into that room. There's no man or woman silhouette to this side or the other. So that's in one breath. In the other breath, don't be mean to this category or that category or that category or that category. You want to try to make sense of anything below the age of 30 years old, a person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in one, we're going to make everybody inclusive, and we're also going to categorize every single piece of human person we can. How does that make sense to you? As far as wanting to classify, oh, well, this person likes cell phones as their girlfriend, so they're electronophobia sexual. How about they're just a person that has interests,
yeah.
much like there's a person who wants to live from the traditional Amish, where we take mm-hmm. wagons to our first date at the video store.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're a retro alia sexite. Why do we need to put a title on it?
I don't. Yeah, I know that we do.
You're not asking me to date my cell phone. I don't particularly give a F if you want to continuously call yourself and let it go to voicemail when your phone's in your pocket to get some type of enjoyment. You do you, man or woman, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Who cares? And that's the thing where it gets so, everybody gets so uppity and anxiety and this, that, or the other. If it's not personally affecting you, or you're not being held hostage to do it,
mm-hmm.
who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Well, I do, because my blah, 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 blah. Get a new hobby.
Sure.
Go paint your sunroom.
Get a new hobby and stop worrying about everybody else.
Now, go hump your phone.
Yeah, it's interesting. A Provo sex offender opened the door nude and invited trick-or-treaters inside, police say. See, this someone like this, I could see them enjoying the relationship with the phone, and I'm cool with it because they're not fucking with kids then. So I guess there is a place in time where it's like, okay, have the fake PC girlfriend or boyfriend
or
whatever.
Has Casey had a relationship with an electronic device? Maybe a board back in the day at a radio station studio? Casey, can you comment?
Let's find out. Let me ask Casey that here in just a moment, and we'll find out what Casey's thoughts are on that. But let's go to our story first, and then we'll find out what Casey thinks of all that. A convicted sex offender was arrested Saturday evening after police say he answered the door of his Provo home naked and invited trick-or-treating children inside. Stephen Kelly Little, 48, was booked in the Utah County Jail for an investigation of 5 counts of lewdness and 3 counts of lewdness involving a child. Police say he already was serving probation for lewdness involving a child. At 6:52 p.m., several children were trick-or-treating and appeared at the house at 1144 East 460 South, where Little answered the door naked and was beckoning children inside, said Provo Police Master Officer Austin Williams. The children told their parents, who were across the street, what had just happened. The father then approached the door with one of his daughters and knocked. He opened the door nude again, Williams said of Little, adding that the father told his daughter to leave and told Little to turn his lights off and not to answer the door anymore. The father then called police. Police say one child shot video of the man answering the door naked and shared it with investigators. When questioned about why he answered the door nude, he said he had just got out of the shower and that's why he was nude. Of course, that's logical. I just got out of the shower. Let's answer it naked for kids. That's what kind of logic, you know, that's not crazy. God, why did you ask the kids inside? And he said, that's where the candy was. God, I just got out of the shower. That's where the candy is. This is all logical, isn't it?
I had an erection. Come on, it's Halloween.
It's where the candy is. At least 5 children over 14 and 3 under 14 saw Little naked, according to a police booking affidavit. The arresting officer noted that a judge should consider raising Little's bail as he's proved to be a danger to children and the public when he's with his continued behavior. Little was arrested on September 22nd, 2018, at the Provo Recreation Center. He had approached a stall door in the men's locker room while naked and was viewing a 10-year-old child using the bathroom while making sexually suggestive sounds and touching himself, according to charging documents. In March of 2019, Little pled guilty to lewdness involving a child, a Class A misdemeanor. Fourth District Judge James R. Taylor ordered him to serve a year in jail, but suspended that jail time and ordered him to be on probation for 3 years. As part of the probation, he was ordered to spend 45 days in jail, according to court records, but it's unclear if that time was served through a work diversion program. My God. That's where the candy is. I just got out of the shower. What the fuck?
Officer, do you not know what time of year it is? The leaves are falling. So is my towel. And, you know, I wanted to get a Butterfinger. Who am I to not share the tasty chocolate-covered candy shell?
Mm-hmm.
So was trying to multitask. The towels were in the dryer. The doorbell was ringing. I got a ring notification on my girlfriend, cell phone. And let him in. Let him in. Trick or treat.
God,
don't put those handcuffs on me. Don't want to get me excited any more than I already am.
It's just, yeah.
Hi, I'm here for the application of the T-ball coach. Yeah, I have years of experience.
So, as we said before, we wanted to ask Casey about the studio equipment that there might have been a love affair with allegedly once. Casey?
I once had a relationship with a microphone. It was a beautiful gold Rode mic that was once used by Rush Limbaugh, which is why it smelled like cigar and too much aftershave. I still miss that mic to this day, but not Rush. He was a twisted piece of shit. He didn't even allow me to stay for breakfast. Now, on with the countdown.
Oh, there you go. Thank you, Casey.
Rush Limbaugh, R.I.P.
There you go. That's That answers that. I'm glad you enjoyed that that microphone. And you do this for a long time, you start to really fall in love with the equipment, I guess. Let's go to our next story. A Washington man killed a daughter's boyfriend who sold her into a sex ring and left his body in the trunk for a year, according to police. Just basing it on the headline without hearing the story yet, I don't know that I feel that the father was really wrong.
So it was the dad of the daughter who was sold into sex trafficking and killed who sold her.
Yes.
I see nothing wrong at all.
Totally. I think I would probably do pretty close to the same. A 60-year-old man is accused of killing his daughter's boyfriend, who allegedly sold her into sex trafficking, and leaving his body in a car's trunk for nearly a year. According to the Spokane Police Department, this story comes to us from True Crime Daily. In October of 2020, John Eisman learned that his juvenile daughter was allegedly sold into a sex traffic ring in Seattle. Eisman reportedly learned that there was a possibility his daughter's boyfriend was involved in the sale. The same month, Eisman was able to rescue his daughter and brought her back to Spokane. The spokesman review identified the boyfriend as Andrew Sorensen. In November 2020, Eisman reportedly found out the boyfriend was going to be in Airway Heights, Washington. Spokane police said Eisman waited for the victim, then confronted Sorensen when he arrived. Police alleged Eisman abducted the victim, tied him up, placed him in the trunk of a vehicle. Eisman allegedly hit Sorensen in the head with a cinder block, then stabbed him repeatedly, which killed him. According to the Spokane Police Department statement, Eisman kept Sorensen's body in the trunk and drove the car to North Spokane County, where he abandoned it in a remote area. Nearly a year later, in October of 2021, Spokane police believe a third party moved the vehicle to 1800 East Everett. On October 22nd, Spokane police officers responded to the East Everett address because of a foul odor emanating from the car. According to police, individuals were rummaging through the car and taking items when they made the gruesome discovery. In the spokesman review, citing court document reports, Sorensen's hands and ankles were bound by zip ties and he had tape over his mouth. Officers confirmed human remains were in the vehicle. According to the spokesman review, the car, a 1991 green Honda Accord, belonged to Brenda Cross. She was engaged to Eisman, and their daughter is a juvenile who was trafficked. Eisman reportedly told officers who went to speak with Cross that the car was stolen. The spokesman review reports Eisman confessed to killing Sorensen. Police said Eisman had no prior violent criminal history. Eisman was arrested and booked into Spokane County Jail for first-degree murder. According to jail records, his bond was set at $1 million. Okay. I think he gets... Cool. I guess that's one way to handle it, Dad. And I challenge a lot of dads not to do something very similar should you ever come across something like that.
Couple of things. Gentleman's last name is Iceman.
Yes. But so, E-I-S-M-A-N, not I-C-E-M-A-N.
All right. So all of you prospective boyfriends out there, pick a girl that you can have a relationship with the dad without the last name of any type of professional wrestler. Because when you choose to then sell her to some type of trafficking, you're dead. Secondly, here's the thing. They're in a relationship, Mr. Eisman and his wife, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. If she has a Honda, an Accord, mm-hmm. Okay, those can go upwards of 300,000 miles. Why not use your car, Mr. Eisman? Maybe you have a Mercury, all right? That thing's going to blow at 100,000. You're going to need a new transmission. Keep her car. It's an Accord. Those things will go forever. Don't put the body in that one.
So you're kind of more concerned on the vehicle choices that he made for hiding the body.
Absolutely. If you're gonna kill someone and you're going to put them in a trunk, don't do it in a Toyota or a Honda, a Lexus, a Subaru. Do it in some Chevy Cobalt, Ford Escort, some piece of crap car that is going to do a lot better off in a field housing a dead body than a vehicle that's really going to last, dare I say, forever.
I guess my question is, why leave it in the car where it can be somewhat traced around, you know, because something's in a car, they're going to know who owns the car, who knew people who owned the car. And eventually, you know, you're going to get some dots connected back to you. I think if you're going to kill the guy who sold your daughter into sex trafficking, you just dump the, I mean, fuck, you're in Washington State. There's so many remote places. There's oceans, there's mountains, there's so many places you could go dump the damn body. And, you know, very likely no one's ever going to pin it back to you.
I mean, this is a dad who probably was in a little bit of rage when he found it out. So I don't think he was a serial killer that then knew a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy who torched cars for a living. So I would think that maybe he took care of it. And so
I mean, and I get lazy. Like, yeah, in that moment, you're probably like that. But after like a week or two, you're like, shit, that body's still on that trunk. I think I'd be like, I got to do something with that body in that trunk.
again, it's an Accord. All right. So the body decomposes. You fire that baby up. It's still got about 100,000 left. So if you torch it.
So if the car
you can't get that gas mileage. And Tony, if you know, here in 2021, mm-hmm. pre-owned vehicles are selling at a premium.
Can you imagine what the Carfax history report would say on that one if it goes back on the market?
Zero accidents.
And that's it. Because I don't think there's a Carfax a category for like death in the vehicle that doesn't involve an accident.
Interesting. There are those, which, by the way, rebuilt titles and salvage titles, you should never buy a vehicle. But those that do, the insurance company writes them off, and then they will. Would you ever buy a car? Again, you don't. But if you would, mm-hmm. where the insurance company wrote it off, it's maybe a 2020. So it's only got like 6,000 miles. But mm-hmm. there's a very bad accident. Somebody dies in the accident, in the car. Then insurance writes it off. Some auto garage buys it, really low price. They then take it to an auto body shop, completely fix it. It's all work. Would you buy that car where somebody literally died in said car?
No, I don't think I would. I mean,
but would you know?
If I didn't know, I mean, there's no way of knowing. But if I had the choice of knowing, if I did know, no, I wouldn't.
How many people do you think are driving around cars right now? They bought pre-owned. Maybe mm-hmm. it's been in an accident, because you can buy a car that's been in an accident and fully credited people fix it and good to go.
Yeah.
If someone died, you could be at a red light right now listening to this program. Mm-hmm. Somebody died in your pre-owned Camry.
Well, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on how the death went. I mean, if the death occurred because of the accident and it wasn't like a heart attack or something, I doubt many of those vehicles are around because those are going to be too damaged to ever be fixed. But I would say this, there's probably several that, you know, someone had a heart attack or something like that, and the vehicle was fine. I mean, it was not really that damaged at all. Maybe they just kind of swerved off to the side of the road and that's where they died. Or the other thought would be this one. What about the spare parts market, the aftermarket stuff where you're getting it off of an accident vehicle for super cheap because you need a new mirror on the side and you'd rather not go buy a brand new one and go to the junkyard and get one off of that same model for, you know, 1/8 of the price and put it on. And you're putting on parts onto your vehicle that were part of an accident vehicle where someone died or multiple people died. What about that scenario? Because that's more likely, I think, to connect someone dead to your vehicle than it is to be in a vehicle where someone was literally, you know, ejected from the windshield, through the windshield or something like that.
So basically what you're saying is, would you pop that sun visor down mm-hmm. after work today because it's sunny? That sun visor, your hand touched the same sun visor of a hand that is 6 feet below ground currently.
That, and you really wouldn't know. I mean, unless you're looking at the vehicle you're getting it off of and going, yeah, whoever was in this thing clearly, likely did not survive.
The steering wheel that you are holding was clenched by someone who is no longer living.
There was airline stories about stuff like that in the 80s. I forget what it was. I want to say it was Pan Am something, where they had used parts from a plane that had gotten into an accident or a crash of some sort, but there were a lot of parts of the plane that were still usable. And then they ended up using them as like, you know, replacement this or that on an airplane. I don't know plane parts, so I can't speak to what it was exactly, but there are ghost stories about that where they started seeing like crew members on the flight that were not on that flight or were not supposed to be there, or a captain that was not the captain of the plane on those flights. And then they looked into it a little bit more and they went, oh, they used those parts from that crashed plane. And the description of the person I'm describing matches that of the flight crew. That's, you know, that's kind of the, I guess, the ghostly angle of using spare parts.
That's very interesting, because not a lot of airplane crashes do you have parts that are still usable.
I know.
Unless it slides off the runway, then somebody gets a sprained ankle, or the one person of 342 passengers is unlucky enough to be in that one spot where they break their back.
Yeah.
Everybody else is good. A little slippery on the runway, but the one flight attendant, she is going to be in the hospital for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it was, but it was obviously it was a crash, an accident of some sort that obviously lent itself to still being able to use some parts of that plane. And I don't know all the details, but there's somebody out there screaming at their device right now going, it was this, it was that. But I can picture the book, the cover of the book, but I can't see the writing in my head. But it was, I believe there was even an Unsolved Mysteries episode on it back in the 80s, circa, you know, with Robert Stack. Ooh. Oh, that's.
Could we ask Robert?
That's what I got to do. We got to add Robert Stack to our list. You know,
Ghosts on a Plane?
I also want to, I wonder if there's enough just dry Robert Stack talking, because, you know, they always like did the intros, but was there music behind him when he was doing that? That's the part that makes it tricky.
To answer your question, I think yes and no, because there was the intros and then there was after the story was done. I just came across 10 stories of ghosts on planes.
Okay. Pan Am something?
Flight 401.
Yes, that's it. Yep.
Crash into the Florida Everglades, claiming 101 lives.
Or Eastern Air.
Yep. Yeah. Eastern Airlines Flight 401. Planes were salvaged. Parts had been installed. The ghosts of Bob Loft and Don Repo started to turn up. In one instance, story goes on that the airline VP had a pleasant conversation with a man in a captain's uniform shortly after boarding. He realized halfway through that he recognized the man as the deceased captain, Bob Loft.
Wow. It's even, it's reported ghost sightings is actually also one of the chapters in Wikipedia on this story. So I don't really see ghost stuff that often on Wikipedia, unlike a factual story. From the captain to the colonial, the infamous history of Eastern Airlines. There's several books out on the topic. The Ghost of Flight 401 is the book I'm thinking of. It was also made into a made-for-TV movie, which I kind of remember that. It was aired in February of 78. I remember watching it like when there was like they would rerun that stuff. It's like, it's the NBC Sunday night movie filmed 20 years ago. Wow. Interesting. So there you go. That's some interesting things that happen when you use used parts. So think deeply. Think clearly before you grab that rear view mirror replacement and wonder, what happened here?
Who might be? But it's only $7.
Who might be in your back seat for the rest of your ownership of that car? And then it causes another accident because you swerve off the road when there's suddenly someone back there. I don't know. That would be creepy. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Dark Side Of. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become a Dark Sider. Sign up over at Patreon and just search Dark Side Of or go to darksidepod.com. $5 a month gets you access to all the advanced episodes, all of it commercial free, and all the extras there as well. Until next time, for Sean and Casey, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No